Well, good morning and happy new year. My name is Becky, and along with Kevin, I'm the co-campus pastor here at our East Aurora campus. It's so good to have you here. If you are an elementary school student, raise your hand. Did everybody get one of these? All right, if you did not get one, keep your hand up. All right, do we have middle school students? Any middle school students here? All right, did you all get one of these? Whiteheads, did you get one? All right. Oh, you got one. I'm going to give the whole Whitehead family these, all right? Because you know what? They're just that amazing. All right, so those are just little goodie bags that will come into play during our sermon. Is there an adult who wants a goodie bag? Sophie, catch. There you go. You're all right, awesome. So, parents, hang on to, parents of elementary school kids, especially younger ones, just hang on to those for right now, and I'll let you know what to do with them in a minute. But actually, I would like to bring up, maybe two volunteers, two elementary school students, and all you got to do is come up here, answer a question, and then you can pick a little prize, all right? Oh, I see Tefano. Tefano, come on up, bud. And let's see, is that Graham back there? Graham, come on up. All right, so I'm just going to ask you one question. Now, Tefano, you are in what grade?
Third.
Third grade at Ellicott Road Elementary, which is where I went to school. All right, and Graham, what grade are you in?
Fifth.
Fifth grade. All right, so here's my question. Think of a time when you have been chosen for something. When somebody picked you for something, all right? So it could be a teacher picked you for something, or a parent, or a youth leader, or something like that. Do you have something in mind? You do? Okay, Tefano, when was a time that you were chosen or picked for something?
I was picked to get my tractor that I have today, my little lawn tractor made for 13 and up.
Okay, I just need to check something. Do you drive a tractor?
It's a little lawn mower.
It's a lawn. Oh, okay. Awesome. Wow. That's amazing. Cool. And I'm taking this as a new sweatshirt from Christmas. Minecraft? Love it. Okay. Graham, what was the time you've been picked for something?
I was picked to be a shepherd in the church play.
You certainly were, and you did a great job. Yeah. Awesome. Hey, give these kids a round of applause. All right, so it's exciting being chosen for something, isn't it? Right, that feeling, hopefully at some point in your life, you've had that feeling of being chosen. Maybe it was chosen in gym class to be on somebody's team, or chosen in school for an award, or to be in the school play. Or maybe as you got a little bit older, you were chosen to be someone's date for a dance or for a wedding. Maybe you were chosen to get into the college that you wanted to attend. Maybe you were chosen in adoption. Maybe you were chosen to be someone's spouse at some point, or chosen for a job or a promotion or some kind of a special project at work. But whatever it is, that feeling that somebody looked at all the options and chose you is pretty awesome. But when it's God doing the choosing, it's life-changing. And so in the series that we're beginning today called Sincerely, we're going to take a look at what it means to be chosen by God. As Kevin mentioned, we're going to read through a letter that's in the New Testament. It's a letter called 1 Peter. And actually, when you walk out the doors today, you'll see these kind of letters that are written to you to invite you to partake and participate in this series. There's a bookmark in there with a reading plan. It doesn't start till next week. So you can take one of these, one per family, and feel free to take one to invite somebody else to participate in our series. So this was a letter that was written by Peter to Christians who were living in five regions of what is now modern Turkey. And so we called it Sincerely, not only because that's a lot of times how we sign our letters, but also because the words of encouragement he has for the people are sincere, they're true, they're genuine, and we know that because Peter has gone through a lot of the situations that he writes about. And so for today, as we stand on the edge of one year, ready to jump into the next, I just want to encourage you with the first two verses of that letter of 1 Peter. And if you've ever received a handwritten letter, you know how special it is. Like somebody sat down and just like we saw in the bumper video, they took the time to write words of encouragement or instruction to you. And it's a really special feeling. And that's how it was in ancient times too. In fact, in ancient times, a letter was considered to be an extension of the person writing it, as if they were there with you. Someone during that time, who lived during that time, said this: when you look at my letter, think that you're looking at me. It's as if I'm there with you. A modern day equivalent might be FaceTime, right? We know FaceTime or Zoom or those types of things. And our first choice would be to have the person there with us physically, but that's the next best thing. Well, in ancient times, the letter was the next best thing. And so Peter's letter would have been passed around from church to church and be read on Peter's behalf. It was the next best thing to having him there in person. And so in his letter, he starts off by saying, "This is a letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." And so he wanted everybody to know, this letter is from me. You can trust what this letter says. But what does he mean by apostle? Well, in that context, it means that he hung out with Jesus in person, in the flesh. It means that he traveled with Jesus. He ate with him. He saw how he did things. Peter learned firsthand from Jesus. And so by saying, this is Peter, an apostle, it's like he's saying, I'm legit. I hung out with Jesus when he was here. Listen to what I have to say. It's sincere. It's true. It's not made up. And then he tells us who the letter is to. He says, I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Again, modern-day Turkey. All right, so in the beginning of his letter, Peter establishes who he is, that he has street cred with Jesus. He's saying who the letter is for. It sounds pretty normal. However, the second verse that we're going to look at, I'm going to prep you for a little bit here. All right, so parents, take the fidget spinner out of the bag and give it to your child along with the four sticker labels there. All right, so there should be four sticker labels. Give those to your child. And kids, I want you to take the God sticker and put it right in the middle of your fidget spinner. I think I have a fidget spinner in my pocket here. All right, so remember these doodads. All right, so put the God sticker right in the middle. And then after you do that, as I read this next verse, whenever you see a word bolded in the verse, you take that sticker and put it on one of the three things sticking out. Okay, does that make sense? All right, let's see how we do. We'll have a picture in a minute to show what it should look like. So as he goes into verse 2, Peter has some really special things to say to the people who are living in these regions. He says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, did you catch the three bolded terms there? Father, Spirit, and Jesus. All right, put those on the three spokes of the fidget spinner, and it should look like this, okay? Doesn't really matter which order the three around the edges are, but make sure God is in the middle. All right, now what does a fidget spinner possibly have to do with God? What are we getting at here? Well, this idea is called the Trinity. All right, so the Trinity is important for us to better understand God. How many of you have heard that term, Trinity, at some point? Okay. Now, before I say anything else, I want you to know, it's not possible for us to fully understand God, to understand him in his completeness. He is way above and beyond us. He's so powerful and so great and so mighty. It would be like trying to explain, for example, the game of dodgeball to a guinea pig. All right, has anybody ever tried to explain the game of dodgeball to a guinea pig? You have? How did it go? It's pretty hard, right? Yeah. That guinea pig, no matter how many charts you drew and graphs and diagrams, no matter how many times you tried to play dodgeball with that guinea pig is just not going to get it. It's outside of the mental capacity of that guinea pig. It's the same way with us. Am I calling us all guinea pigs? You bet I am. We just don't have the mental capacity in this human form of ours to fully understand God. And that's okay. That's what makes him God. But in his mercy and his goodness, God has given us his word. He's given us the Bible, and he gives us clues throughout the Bible so that we can know more about him. Clues, just like the verse we just read, which tells us that there's one God in three persons. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we call this the Trinity because tri, T-R-I, means three. All right, I have another question for you. Anybody can call out, but can anybody think of another word that starts with tri? Tricycle, one bike, three wheels. Very good, David. Who else has a word that starts with tri? Triangle, one shape, three angles. Excellent. Anybody else? Brooke, did you have one? He stole it, didn't he? Okay. Anybody else have one? Triple, right? It means three. So if you get a triple in baseball, you go to three bases. Yeah. Okay, who is that back there? Okay, you've got one. What is it, honey? A tripod. One thing with three legs, right? Okay, so you guys get it. All right, awesome. So we worship one God who is three persons. And if you're confused, don't worry. You are not alone. Again, we can't understand this in full, but we can get a good enough grasp of God to know more about him. The Trinity is a bit of a mystery, but that's okay. And actually, parents, I have kind of a more detailed thing up here that tells us that God is Father, God is Spirit, and God is the Son. But if you look at the outside ring, it tells us that the Son is not the Father. They're two different entities. The Father is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son. Although they're God, they each have their own individual characteristics. So all are different persons of God, but they work together as one God. And actually, all of the kids are going to show us this with their fidget spinners. So kids, can you just stand up? All right. Turn on, if you haven't already, turn on the light of your fidget spinner and show us how those fidget spinners work. Can you turn around and show the crowd? Yeah. All right, so there's three things coming out of that fidget spinner, but they work as one. Does that make sense? All right. And God is a light in the darkness. All right, so hopefully that helps you understand. Now, any analogy of the Trinity kind of breaks down at some point, but this is the most helpful one that I have seen, a better understanding how God is three in one. Okay, so the Trinity shows us that God is multidimensional. All that means is that God has so many sides and angles and little hidden depths than we could ever realize. We can study God for our whole lives, and there would still be an eternity to go for us to be able to best know him. And so since we're made in his image, guess what? That means that we're multidimensional too. That means that there are things about yourself, I don't care how old you are, there are things about yourself that God has yet to reveal to you. There are depths to you that only God knows about. Same with the people that you love. No matter how long you have known and loved a person, there are things about that person that God still wants to reveal about you. There are things about God that God still wants to reveal about you. Doesn't that make our Christian walk so much more purposeful? There's so much there that God wants to reveal to us at the right time, in the right way. And so by understanding God better, we also understand ourselves better. All right, so for example, did you notice what God the Father did in that verse we just read? God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. So God knew you and chose you. Psalms, which is another book in the Bible, tells us that God knit us together in our mother's womb. That every physical characteristic you have, God did that on purpose. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Every personality characteristic, every gift and ability and passion that you have, God did that on purpose. He made you that way intentionally before you were even born. You are loved that much. Can you imagine if our lives were centered fully on that knowledge? How much differently we would live. He knew us and then he chose us. This was not random. He looked around at his whole creation, and he chose humans to be in special relationship with. You see, when he created the world, he had his choice of all of the plants, all of the bugs, all of the animals, and he said they were good. But then God made humans, and he said, oh, these humans are very good. And he chose humans, not dogs or cats or rats or bats or chimpanzees, not even guinea pigs. He chose humans to be in close relationship with him forever. And so God chose you. And then as Peter goes on in his letter, it says that his Holy Spirit has made you holy. So the Father knew us and chose us, and his Spirit has made you holy. Now, when I say holy, it doesn't mean that God took a hole puncher to you and just started punching holes everywhere. Holy means set apart. Holy means set apart for special use. Now, God is perfectly holy, all on his own. He doesn't need anything or anyone else. He is above and beyond us. He is set apart. Yet, he chose to make us holy through his Holy Spirit. It means we live differently because we're living for God, not ourselves and not for other people. And so his Spirit made us holy, and Peter goes on to say in his letter, as a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So God has cleansed you through his Son, Jesus. All right, kids, in your bag, you have a little bottle of hand sanitizer. Go ahead, take that out. Give your hands a squirt. Give the people to the left of you a squirt. Give the people to the right to you a squirt. You know what? Turn around. Give somebody behind you a squirt of that, all right? So hand sanitizer is one way that we clean our hands. But it takes a heck of a lot more than soap to clean our hearts, doesn't it? And that's where God's Son, Jesus, comes in. So hand sanitizer is really helpful for cleaning our hands. I love it. So many people are like just disinfecting right now. But how do you disinfect the human heart? Only Jesus could do that. Jesus, though he lived a sinless, holy life, took all of our sin, every wrong we've ever said or done or thought, and he wiped it away. He cleansed it by dying on the cross. And he cleansed us of all of our sins so that we're holy and we can be with our holy God forever. And we can't take credit for any of this, right? It's the Father that chose us. It's the Spirit that made us holy. And it's the Son, Jesus, who has cleansed us. And God, he chose us, but he also didn't force us. He gave us the choice to receive his Son and to accept the gift of salvation, of holiness, of being clean. We get to make that choice. And when we make that choice, when we say, God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he did what he said he would do, that he raised from the dead and defeated sin and death, then we are made holy. We are cleansed. We are set apart from the rest of the world in a really wonderful way. We don't have to live the way that everybody else does. And that's where obedience comes in. Jesus empowers us to live a different way, to obey our parents, even when we don't feel like it. For parents to obey their bosses, even when they're being jerks. To obey the law, even when we do not like it. To obey those who are in authority over us, even when we don't like them. Because when we obey the human authority that has been put in our life, it shows that we're willing to obey the ultimate authority, God. And as we learn to obey God, we live a new way with new energy and new power and new purpose. Doesn't that sound like an awesome way to start off your new year? And God wants everybody in on this. He doesn't want anybody missing out on it. And so, wouldn't it be awesome if we could sit and write a letter like Peter to everyone, so that they could all know that God chose them, that he loves them, that he can make them holy and clean? Well, that is where you come in. Now, I'm not asking you to go home and write 1,000 letters. Let's look at a different letter in the Bible, 2 Corinthians, to see what it has to say. It says this, your lives are a letter. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Jesus Christ. And this letter is not written with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Do you see that the Trinity is active and working in all of this? And so God sent his Son. He knew the best way to let us know about his life was sending his Son in person, as a human, to let us know about his love. But Jesus went back to heaven. He ascended into heaven, and he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father so that his Spirit could come and be with everyone and be everywhere. And it's his Holy Spirit that writes a letter to the world through you and the way that you live your life. God chose to send you into the world. He chose to send me into the world as love letters to those who don't know him or trust him yet. I hope that gives your life meaning and purpose. And so when you share with a friend, you're a love letter from God. When you say hi to the new kid at school, you're a love letter from God. When you give to the church your time and talents and resources, you're a love letter from God. But you know what? It goes way beyond just being kind, which is kind of a mantra now. Be kind. Now, I'm a big fan of being kind. But being a Christian goes way beyond just being kind. It's about being set apart. It's about being holy. It's about obedience. And remember, God's Spirit has made you holy, and his Son has cleansed you. So when you don't do what everybody else is doing because you know it's wrong, that too is being a love letter from God. When I was in fifth grade at Ellicott Road Elementary, I was in Mrs. Cooney's class, and we sat in kind of groups of four, and I remember there was one day she said, okay, class, get out your math homework, and all four of us just looked at each other like, oh my gosh, we totally forgot to do it. We didn't do it, and so we just were staring at our blank sheet of paper. Well, somebody from a different group was like, psst, here's mine, just copy it. And so everybody starts furiously copying this kid's homework. And I was like having a little bit of a, you know, inner struggle because I knew that it was wrong. But I really didn't want to get in trouble. And I remember just finally going up to Mrs. Cooney and handing her my blank sheet of paper. And I just said, I didn't do it. I'm sorry, Mrs. Cooney. And she was like, you get a zero. And I was like, okay, you know, and I kind of sat back down. But I remember as I was walking back to my group, this one kid's face in particular, I can picture it 30 years later, is looking at me like, are you insane? Why didn't you just copy the homework? You know, he didn't say that, but his face was just like, and I just remember that so well because I remember, you know what, I got a zero and that's okay because I'd rather keep my integrity then get a good grade that I didn't deserve. And it's funny because that kid is now a man and goes to another campus at Revive. I won't tell you his name. It's just funny. Funny how life works out that way. But even when through obedience to the Holy Spirit, to what you know is right, God can use that to show people, others, how to live a different way. Now, I am not perfect. I can tell you, I probably cheated at other points in my, school career. But did you know God can even use the times when we mess up? Because we go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry, that was wrong. And we can show people a different way of even handling when we do the wrong things. And so these are just a couple of examples of how our lives are love letters from God to others. And I think it just gives our lives so much purpose that God wants to use us to show others a better way to live. It's not always easy, but because our lives are written by the Spirit, meaning we are led by the Spirit, we have all the help we need. And can I tell you, Kevin and I are kind of clinging to this promise. As we're in a season of leading this church, we're not exactly sure what the next step is. We had over 600 people at our Christmas Eve services. And we're just bursting at the seams. It's a great problem. People are having babies like crazy. And they're inviting their neighbors. And people are just being drawn here. It's not Kevin and I. It's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's next. I don't know what 2024 brings for our church. But we have all the help we need. Why? Because it's not reliant on us. We're being led by the Spirit as best we know how. But it's no wonder that Peter includes this next line in his letter. May God give you more and more grace and peace. And I pray the same for you as you enter into 2024. In fact, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and then we're going to end the prayer in a way that maybe you've never done before. We're going to celebrate God's love, that God chose us to be in right relationship with him through his son, Jesus. And we're going to celebrate what he has for us in this new year. So after I say amen, we're going to do a countdown from 10. And kids, you guys have little poppers in your bag that when we get to the end of the countdown, not during our prayer, but at the end of the countdown, we can pull those poppers and have a little celebration and say, Happy New Year, all right? So let me pray for us first. God, I thank you so much for your goodness to us, that you chose us, that you love us, that you created us. May that knowledge bury itself deeper into our hearts than ever before this coming year. I pray for Revive Wesleyan Church, for every man, woman, and child here, that each and every one of us would know that you have made us holy, that you have cleansed us from our sin. And if we haven't yet made that decision of faith, God, would we make that decision to receive you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior? May you give us more and more grace and peace as we use our lives as love letters to the world, showing them a different way to live. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I have two confetti cannons and then two people from, yeah, come on up. Yeah, Carter and Maddie, I'm just, you know, this is my family, so they have to help me. And we have some confetti cannons. Now, those of you with confetti cannons, don't aim it at anybody's faces, just up. Right? Yeah? You see which way it goes? Okay.
I'm calling Dave because I didn't do it last
time. I know. I
wasn't strong enough.
I wasn't either. Yeah. All right. Here we go. So,
one way.
Where's the countdown? 10,
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Please stand as we continue our worship through song.